Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Going to go ahead and start in a passage of scripture. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and beginning with verse 9, the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." This is a very powerful passage of Scripture, and the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, the great thinkers of their day, and the philosophical, elite and whatnot. And so the Apostle Paul knew kind of what he was up against in terms of, the influences of their culture in that day. And it's very powerful the way he describes this. He just starts out by saying, the Scripture says that man, hasn't seen or known the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So the Apostle Paul is saying that God has given us his Spirit so that we can know those things that he's prepared for us. We saw, just a few weeks ago how we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared for us to walk in. And so he's given us his Spirit to know what those works are so we can walk in them. He's given us his Spirit to know things about him. But as he's talking to the Corinthian church, he's kind of saying that there's kind of dueling influences at work here. God has given you his Spirit so that you can know the things of God. And he also is very clear about saying, now we've not received the spirit of the world. So there's kind of some dueling influences, You've got the spirit of the world, and you've got the Spirit of God. And they both have these influences on our minds, all right? And Paul said we've been given the Spirit of God so that we can know the things that are of God. We can have discernment about the things of God. The spirit of the world doesn't give me discernment about the things of God. Being under the influence of the spirit of the world does not give me access to God. It's the Spirit of God that can search the deep things of God. The spirit of the world can't search the deep things of God. The spirit of the world can speculate about God. The spirit of the world can make, assumptions whether there is a God or isn't a God, or if he is a God, he's like this. The spirit of the world is guessing. But the Spirit of God is not guessing. The Spirit of God knows things about God. There's an authority that the Spirit of God has when it comes to knowing God that the spirit of the world doesn't have. And so the Apostle Paul saying you got two competing influences. You got the spirit of the world that kind of thinks, calculates whatever that he embodies as what he calls the natural man. All right? There's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. The natural man represents the spirit of the world. The spiritual man represents the Spirit of God. And he says these two guys are at odds with each other. the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him. So when somebody's over here under the influence of the Holy Spirit talking with authority about the things of God, somebody who doesn't have that Spirit is saying, well, that's presumptuous. Well, who do you think you are? Where are you coming from? Because you don't have the Spirit of God, you're working with the spirit of the world, you don't have that understanding. Because what does the scripture says? It says they're spiritually, but the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And it says, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know these things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches or natural man, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. And we start talking like this, the natural man says, yeah, well, maybe, you know, but there's no authority there because he doesn't have the Spirit to know that they're true. This is a big thing that happens when you get born again. And this is the reason why we need to preach the gospel and win people to Jesus. Not only are they born again and receive eternal life, but they also get the Spirit of God, which gives them spiritual discernment, right? But you see these two things that are going back and forth. And the reason why, and I just want to bring this into our 2020 stuff that we deal with, the world that we live in, and a lot of the conflict and back and forth and feeling persecuted and misunderstood and all that kind of stuff. It really comes from this battle right here. Whether you're a natural man functioning under the spirit of the world, or whether you're a spiritual person functioning under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that this is really the inflection point right here. And it's right here that ultimately the reason why this person, the natural man, is passionate about what they believe is because they are looking at natural things and natural deduction and natural reasoning, and they're comparing natural with natural to come up with why they believe what they believe, and that's what has authority to them. Over here, a spiritual person is digging into scriptural things, spiritual things, and they're comparing spiritual with spiritual, and they're saying, this is why I believe what I believe. But what you see ultimately is there's competing authorities. There's the authority of the natural versus the authority of that spiritual realm. If you're functioning over here, you look foolish to the natural man. You're dealing with things that aren't natural. To the natural man, that's a cop-out. Yeah, just, you know, throw the flag of, you know, you're off in la-la land, no accountability, whatever you think, whatever you feel. And so that for the natural man to think that there is some kind of spiritual truth that can really let you know things, doesn't get it. So where I really want to go with this paradigm is I really want to bring this paradigm to a question. You know, last week I told off on a little incident with Abby where she kind of in the back seat just all of a sudden blurted out, I'm the boss. You know, as we were driving from Walmart, going home from Walmart, I'm the boss. And so we kind of had that little discourse about, you know, who's the boss in a sense. And so I kind of thought about that, but I kind of thought about that as it relates to this paradigm right here. And that's really the title of my message this morning is simply, who's the boss? Who's the boss? Who's your authority? Who's calling the shots? Now, I'm not talking about this on a structural level. I've had a lot of bosses through my life. I've had a lot of, you know, employers, different things like that. I'm talking about this in a very personal way. I'm asking the question in a very personal way. I'm asking the question to you in a very intimate way. Who's calling the shots in your life? What's the authority? What's the influence that's calling the shots in your life? Because even though I am a spiritual man, I understand the spiritual things, I can get over here in the flesh and let the natural realm have authority and call the shots in my life, all right? I've been given the Spirit of God that I might come under the influence of the Spirit, be Spirit-led, Spirit-guided, and let God, you know, have that influence, be the boss in my life. But it's a question that kind of wants to answer this paradigm, so we can have some understanding of the world we live in. That's important to do it. But it's also to bring it closer to home, too, for me to ask myself, Ed, who's the boss right now? Who's really the boss in my life? What's the controlling authority that I'm submitting to? And so this message, again, is just kind of answering that question, who's the boss? And to see, and of course, we're going to answer that question from the perspective of the Spirit of God. We've been given the Spirit of God that we may know those things that have been freely given to us by God, and that we can understand from His perspective the deep things of God and understand how He wants us to live. So we're going to answer that question, who's the boss, this morning? And as we go there, when you get over in the natural realm, when it's not the Spirit of God, there can be a lot of things that have these influences in our life. Well, let's go ahead and just delve into it real quick here. The first aspect in terms of answering the question, who's the boss, I'm just going to say the Word of God, okay? What we would call the Bible, the spiritual man, who's the boss? The Word of God is the boss. Who's the boss? The Word of God is the boss. If the Word of God could speak and say, I'm the boss, I would say, yes, you are the boss. This Word. We actually see how Jesus Christ Himself, our Lord, who we just got done celebrating His sacrifice for us, He put it this way. When He was being tempted in the wilderness, it said, now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Wow. That's what Jesus said. He said, man shall live by every word that proceeds. And He didn't just say, He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I just want to preface something before I get into some of the nuts and bolts of the message here this morning. Things are amped up right now in this world we live in. You can feel it in the air. We're going into an election cycle that is unlike any that I can think of. When you think of just the different ideas and philosophies and ideologies, and just, it's just amazing where we're at, and just the angst and the anxiousness, and just you can feel the threats of violence and hostility and lawlessness and a lot of different things that are just in the air, and the tensions and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you watch the political news and TV and a lot of the stuff that's going on right now. And I'll tell you what, I have just been shaken recently just by the Spirit of God. Just the importance for us as Christians, especially just as Christians, to not let the noise of the world and the times drown out the Word of God. We need to be lifting this Word higher than ever. We need to be living by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God more than ever. Because even if you have a certain ideology that defends Christian faith and liberty, you can get caught up in the political argument and defense of it in a way that the noise is still drowning out the Word. You need the Word of God. God doesn't just need a soldier that's going to stick up for Him and defend the integrity of His Word. He needs somebody who's letting that Word in them and influencing them and strengthening their heart and living by those words. We need the Word of God. Just the sense, the Word of God, to get, let that Word of God have a place and an influence, and where I'm just going back to the Word. The noise, again, of the world, the politics, everything like that, the Word. I'm just going back to the simplicity of opening my Bible and reading the Word of God. The Word's the boss. The Word has a spiritual control that helps me to see through the junk, to see through the stuff of the natural man. The natural man is over here without the influence of the word, just arguing, debating the politics of even spirituality. This isn't good enough. I need the word itself. I need the action. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he said that, he just completed a proof of concept of a Bible. The natural man doesn't even like the concept of there being a Bible. Doesn't want to be controlled or governed by anything. So the natural man has a problem with the concept of a Bible. But when you're over here and the word becomes flesh, God becomes a man and dwells among us, and he holds up written words and says, it is written. He's proved the concept that God, by his Spirit, can communicate to imperfect man who can write it down and capture it perfectly, and God can sovereignly preserve it through the ages to where God becomes a man and lifts up the same word and says, it is written. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, lifted up the written word as the authority of God by something that was penned by an imperfect man that he has preserved. What does that say? It means that the Bible is true. The concept of the Bible was validated by Jesus Christ. We can have confidence in the book. We can have confidence in our scriptures. I mean, if Jesus validated the old covenant, how much more can we trust that God in this new covenant that's based on better promises, that was penned by men who were born of the Spirit of God, that God is going to sovereignly preserve that word through the ages so we can lift it up and say, it is written. We got to get stirred up about our Bibles. We got to get stirred up about the written word of God. This is the word of God. I'm not going to let the noise of this world, I'm not going to let the noise of the politics that are being in the prince of the power of the air throughout. There is the word of God. I got to get stirred up. The word of God is the boss. The word of God is what I live by. Man shall not live by bread alone, but his boss shall be that every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what I live by. That's my boss. You know, of course, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Just going back to This is what's useful for doctrine, for correction, for training up in righteousness. Why is it useful? Because there's an authority here that isn't anywhere else. There's an authority in the Word of God that I can go back to and say, this is true, this is right, this is what the Bible says. The natural man doesn't have that. When the natural man doesn't respect the Bible as the Word of God, and they don't because they don't have the Spirit of God in them to let them know that there's authority here. If you don't have it's when you got the Spirit of God in you that the Bible all of a sudden has authority. You read those words, and there's something in you that goes, yes, amen, that's right. You sense that authority as you're reading those words because you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You could come over here as a natural man and be impressed by the poetic sound or the emotional inspiration of it, but that deep spiritual calling unto deep, searching the deep things of God, comes by the Spirit of God. So there's not that level of appreciation. This isn't just a good old book. It's not just a fine book. You know, this is no more just a good book than Jesus was just a good man. Jesus showed his disciples, I'm more than just a good man. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus wasn't just a good man. He's a God man. Who do men say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got that right. This book is more than just a good book. It's a God book. There's authority here. There's the authority of God in this book. And a preacher or a parent or that, you can kind of train, you know, to train you to get into it. But it's ultimately the Holy Spirit in you that you've been given that's going to yes and amen and cause you to live by these words. But there's a stirring up that we need right now in this day and age to get back to the Bible. And I remember the Lord dealing with me. When you read the Bible and you've read it for a while, the Bible is written in many ways the way a good Disney movie is written. When you watch a Disney movie, there's stuff in there for the 4-year-old and the 104-year-old. There's very physical action that'll make a little kid laugh, and there's this subtle humor, you know, that might go back years. It's interwoven into the writing that you kind of chuckle because you know what they're poking fun at from back there. And a lot of times the Bible has these different layers as you read it. And I remember just seeing Abby, it was a couple years ago, we were driving to Tulsa, and we had the video of the Lion King going on, and all of a sudden, she's laughing at some of these Timon lines that she never laughed at before because they're kind of subtle, sarcastic humor. She was kind of laughing at the action stuff, but some of his lines, and I said, oh, you know, it's funny. I'm hearing her laugh at that now. She never used to laugh at that. And so I remember making note of that, and, you know, and then more recently, I remember thinking, just feeling prompted by the Spirit to go back and read the book of Galatians. You know, and I thought, and my first thought in my mind is, man, I know the book of Galatians pretty well. You know, and the Spirit of God just prompted me and said, Ed, you got to go back and read the book of Galatians. There's parts in there you haven't laughed at yet. All right? There's things that you read in the Bible that you kind of gloss over. You kind of know so much, and you kind of gloss over some things, and oh, that stands out, and that stands out. But as you live life more, and you're going through more things, you're praying, you're working out things, and then you go back to the same scripture, there's stuff you're not afraid to let go in you. You're not afraid to let it challenge your heart. And you find there's a lot of breakthroughs in those things that as you reread the word again, that'll kind of, wow, that's there, but now I see it. And oh, yeah, that is there. And there's just an authority of that. And there's just no substitute for going into the Word of God and letting those words hit your eyes and letting the Spirit of God speak to your heart about what you're seeing in those words. Who is the boss? The Spirit of God, the Word of God is the boss. And let me just encourage you too, in a way, when we think of the Word of God being the boss, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old previous moral condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. A big part, you know, that's what the scripture says. You know, eyes hasn't seen, ears hasn't heard, entered into the heart, the things God's prepared, but he's revealed them to us by his Spirit. The fact that you're a new creation and the fact that you believe you're a new creation and see yourself as a new creation is... there's more to it than, oh, I feel bad, now I feel good. When you're choosing to see yourself as a new creation in the middle of whatever you're going through, you're letting God be the boss. It's not just humble, it's submission to see yourself as a new creation. I don't feel like a new creation, but I am a new creation. It is written, I see myself, I'm a new creation in Jesus' name. This is who I am. My identity in Christ is connected to God as my boss. He's not saying this to make me feel better. He's saying it because it's true. And when it comes to the Word of God, again, the natural man can have an appreciation for the Bible. It can have a poetic, inspirational, there are some attributes that you can do about the Bible that, you know, that's good, you know. Good, some good stuff in there. But when you're a believer and you're over here, and you hear you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, the emotional inspiration of that will only last for a few minutes. But the truth of that is what makes you free. And that's where there's authority in those scriptures. I am a new creation. That's who I am. I may be stubborn right now in areas in my life, but I am a new creation. I may be overcoming, but I am a new creation. There's things I don't know yet, but I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm letting the authority of the Word dictate who I am. Why am I standing here declaring I'm a new creation? Because he's the boss. My feelings, if my feelings were the boss, I would not be seeing myself as a new creation. But the Word of God this is why it's so important. It's not just to do the right things, but it's to see yourself the right way. God's word is the boss. He is the boss. This is who I am. I am who he says I am. I'm motivated. I am motivated by what his word has said to know who I am. And then finally, 2 Timothy 4:2-3 says, preach the word, Pastor Timothy. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, or that word is lusts, according to their own desires, their own lusts, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, they won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their lusts, they're going to look for teachers to validate and justify doctrine that's not sound, but that's not, it's not sound in that it's oriented from the word, but it starts with lust, and then you create doctrine from there and establish that. So Paul's warning that there is coming a time. He said, you might not believe this now. He's saying, but there is coming a time when teachers are going to actually come in. And according to their desires, fashion doctrine. It won't be sound doctrine, but it'll be doctrine. But it will be passion-oriented doctrine, not word-oriented doctrine. That's why he starts with saying, preach the word. Preach the word. You see, preach the word with sound doctrine. Preach the word because there's coming a time when they won't endure sound doctrine. Preach the word. Have word-oriented sound doctrine. Because there's coming a time when there's going to be desire-oriented, teacher-based doctrine that's not sound. Preach the word. Let the word ring loud and clear. The word of God. We need that, especially when those times come. And we can definitely see those times. A lot of times people are asking you, and they will ask you, because for teachers to come and to preach doctrine that's not sound, but that's oriented around desire, you're going to have to do something to this book. You're going to have to do some kind of gymnastics, scriptural gymnastics, to try to make things work if you're going to try to have desire-oriented doctrine. He's saying that time is coming when people are going to do crazy things with the Word of God. And so a lot of times when people will ask me, you know, they might even be asking me from a religious side, where do you come down on this issue, this issue, this issue, this issue? I'll say, hey, the bigger question is, where do you come down on the authority of the Word of God? Who's the boss? Who's the boss? Is the Word of God the boss? Or are desires the boss? Our desires calling teachers to cloak themselves in the word of God, in appearance. But that's not the word of God. That's not true. We're living in a day and age where we need to know who's the boss and that the word of God is the boss. I've got doctrine. They got doctrine. We got doctrine. But where did that doctrine come from? Did it come from the word? Did it start with the word? Or did it start with desire? How did you get there? Where did you come from? You got to come from the word and say, this is the word of God. The answer to that question, who's the boss, as it relates to scripture, is going to answer all those other questions. What do you believe about the Bible? That's why a lot of times I'll say, this is what I believe about the Bible. The Bible is inspired word of God. Men wrote as they were inspired. It is useful for doctrine, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness. That means my life is going to come in conflict with the word of God. And who's the boss? The word is the boss. Now, if the word isn't the boss, then I'm still the boss over here, all right? And I'm just having desire-oriented beliefs. So we got to realize, man, no, that's not me. I'm letting the word of God be the boss. This message, again, I want it to ring on two levels. I want it to be almost therapeutic in one way, to help you understand this is why we deal with world stuff, and to minister some comfort and understand, yes, this is why they don't get me. It's all right. Don't take it personal. People, there are certain people that need the Spirit of God in them to understand you. But on another level, you need to be asking yourself that question, because whether I am, I can be born again, but I could still be over here functioning and letting my flesh and the world and the devil push me around and be the boss. So I need to be asking my question, that, myself that question on a personal level. Not just my what I believe, but what am I allowing to run my life? What's calling the shots in my life? So the Word of God is my boss. All right, who's the boss? The other level that we're talking about is in terms of who's the boss is, we're just saying the Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 16:12, he said, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine, and he will declare it unto you. Another part of letting God be the boss in our lives isn't just reading the Word of God, but another big part is just the listening part. Listening. It takes faith to listen. It takes faith to be quiet and think about what you're getting in your heart and your mind. This can be a good place to where you're journaling things, writing things down. By faith, begin to listen. By faith, begin to, you've prayed some things, listen. What are the impressions? What are the things that God is telling you to do? Who's the boss? You know, the scripture in Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In other words, if I'm going something that I want to do, but there's just not peace there, I got to back off. It's letting God be the boss. But I really want to do it, but there's not peace there. I kind of related a few weeks ago how I kind of, I had a guy, I had a decision to buy a car, had a guy come over and take a look at that car. I just felt a prompting when I was listening to God. I asked, we prayed, Lord, should I buy that car or not? And what he answered was he brought that guy, Dan, to my heart and mind. He said, let Dan look at it. That was his answer. He didn't say yes or no. He just said, let Dan look at it. I said, all right. Dan, look at it. Tell me what you think. He's a car guy. He looked at it, and he literally showed me the door that had this beautiful silver paint job, showed me the chip, how it had formerly been a green car. And then kind of had me look in the very back of it and just showed me how the alignment was not quite right. And then looked up the hood and he could see where there was like some weird stainage going on in the metal, like water damage. All right. Just all his eye, he knew what to look for. But you know, when I test drove it, it drove fine. It felt fine and it looked really good. And all the Lord told me was have Dan look at it. I just had Dan look at it, and he told me all those little things, and I thought, it's just nitpicky. Come on, Dan. You in your mind, because I want it. I'm a born again, right? Spiritual person, but you can get over here in the natural, and you want something. And you begin to think naturally. God didn't say yes or no. He said, had Dan look at it. Well, what kind of answer technically is that? Have Dan look at it. Okay, I knew I got that. And then Dan did the stuff, as far as what was wrong with it. And I knew that the answer, Dan said, I would not recommend buying this car. And I my heart sunk when he said that, and I might have taken it for another test drive or something like that. But I basically overrode that. I knew, and this is where who's the boss comes in on a personal level. Because we know what it's like to have a strong desire, to have passion. And in fact, the word lust, when he's saying, according to their lusts, they're going to fashion teachers who are going to fashion doctrine to allow and spiritualize my passion. Isn't that the best of both worlds? I can yield to my passion and be spiritual all at the same time. That's what we want. Justify. Get me a teacher. Come on, teacher. Make this work. Go into that, pull out some verses and make this thing work, that kind of thing. That's what he said will happen in the last days. But we get over here too, and I'm doing that same thing, all right? Just on a different level. I'm over here and I want that car. Now, the Spirit of God said, have Dan look at it. He looked at it. I got the word. I got the direction. But here's what I did. I began to rationalize. Dan is just nitpicky. He's being nitpicky. He's kind of maybe too much of a car guy. He's just kind of too much of it in his head. And I was thinking, too, there was a Oh, there was another car that was for sale that he had mentioned, you know, and I think he just wants me to buy that car. You know, all of a sudden I began to get in my head. Like you said, you can do gymnastics with scripture in the face of things that are clearly wrong. You can do gymnastics in your own heart, your passions for things in the face of what God has clearly said. Dan didn't come to me and ask me to look at that car, all right? God told me to get Dan to come and look at that car. He had no way of knowing. And all of a sudden, I'm over here trying to, you know, think that, well, Dan was just wanting me to. It's just amazing when you get over here how off we can get. And this is why we have to get over on the Spirit of God and say, who's the boss? Some of the biggest who's the boss conflicts you'll experience is that Galatians 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you can't do the things that you wish. He's talking to Christians. Your flesh and your spirit. So we've got this paradigm, not just in terms of the world that doesn't get us because we're spiritual beings, but we've got this paradigm in us that we're fighting with on an individual, personal level too. We have to fight with our own honesty, you know, as far as the passion of the flesh and different things like that we want to do and justify, right? In the same way the world can find ways to justify worldly things, we as Christians can play the same game. And so what is this? Who's the boss? There's a shaking that ultimately comes and says, who's the boss here? Who's the one calling the shots in my life? And this is not a finger-pointing sermon at all. But it is a sermon of just reflection and just saying, Lord, I don't want to play games over here. I don't want to play games over here and justify things and rationalize things. I want to be firmly over here. You know what? You know what you have over here? You can't do the things that you wish. You don't always get your way when you're over here. When you're over here, you always get your way. Do what you want to do. But there's a peace you have over here that you don't have over there. You may not always be able to do what you wish, but you know that you're doing what God wants you to do. And there's a peace of knowing, God, I'm doing the best that I know to do according to what you've told me to do. There's peace in that. You're letting peace rule. You're letting the peace of God rule in your hearts. When I had the chance then to buy that car, I remember overriding that peace. And the rest of the story, as it relates to what I affectionately called the silver bullet, was I ended up learning about just about every part of a car, because just about every part in that car went out on me. I went through two or three engines, and there was one thing I remember. Julie and I were dating at the time. I was bringing her back home. We were in a rainstorm. I was so mad because I was like on my third engine. I said, the only thing that hasn't gone out on this car are my windshield wipers. And I know, as soon as I say, Julie's my witness, a windshield wiper in a storm flew off. And the thing that was holding the windshield wiper, that hook started just grating against the windshield and destroying the windshield, you know, scratching up the windshield. Thinking, oh, yeah, the windshield too, I guess, hasn't gone out. So, but it was amazing how, and I could go back and say, oh, God, why did you let this happen? Oh, no, I knew why it happened. I knew exactly why it happened, because I was the boss. It's expensive when you're the boss. And, but these are things that, you know, God wants to talk. And sometimes breakthroughs are as simple as just being quiet and letting his voice through. When we're over here, we don't want to let his voice through, because I don't want to be told what to do. I want to be the boss. But when you purpose to just let his voice through, you're making a move in this direction. I mean, if it helps, just get a pencil and paper to say, okay, Lord, this is your time. I've prayed, I've acknowledged you, now I'm listening. I'm just by faith listening, and begin to just jot down some things that come to your heart. I've had breakthroughs happen just in the listening, just in the being quiet, letting the boss speak. There's kind of an old song, you know, I find myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is it's okay. Word of God, speak. And sometimes we just need to get to those places where I'm just going to let, Lord, I'm letting your voice through. I'm letting you speak. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are here to be led by the Spirit of God. This is exactly, again, how Jesus lived. He didn't just declare, it is written, and live by the written word of God. He also lived over here and said, I only say that what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see him do. We see this responsive. I'm responding, not just to what the word of God says written, but to what he's getting, what he's hearing in the moment. He's living a life that's responding to what he's hearing, that rhema, that word of God speaking to his heart. Jesus was our example in that as well, too. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what I see you do. I'm going to say what I hear you say. Word of God, speak. Show me. Lead me. Guide me. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And again, I've referred to this illustration so many times with Paul, but as he's navigating that second missionary journey, he's going to go to Bithynia. Nope, the Spirit forbids him. He wants to go to Asia. Nope, the Spirit forbids him. Oh, Macedonia, that's where to go. You know, the Apostle Paul stopped at the red light of Bithynia. He stopped at the red light of Asia Minor, and then he went at the green light of Macedonia. And that's a lot of, that's a mature believer of somebody who knows who's the boss, and he's letting God, and you stop at those red lights and you go at the green lights. That's a big part of it. Nothing wrong with pursuing something, but when there's a red light, I'm stopping. There's no peace there. And if I'm going to let peace rule, and if I'm going to let that voice through, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to buy that car. I don't know what car I am going to buy, but I'm not going to buy that car. I'm going to stop at that light. And you begin to learn these things. And I remember, too, it was actually when Julie and I had, years later, had moved into Eden Prairie in the cities. We were actually looking for a house out there. And we were looking through the house. It looked amazing. It was incredible. There was only one problem. It was across the street from this industrial park that had, might have been some noise issues or different things like that. That could be a hindrance, you know, to resale someday. But it had all the little cool things that we were looking for, you know, but it was just this one thing that made the house really cheap. And I was thinking, wow, but this, it's got everything we want, but it's just that one thing. And I just remembered the Spirit of God right over here said, remember the silver bullet. Remember the silver bullet. And I passed on that house immediately. You know, I said, no, no. You know, it's got a lot of cool, but that must matter, you know, in some way. And so, but I, you know, you learn these things. You know, by reason of use, the scripture says, the mature people aren't people who got it right all the time. They're people who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. All right? You're over here, and you play those games, the spiritual games with the things, and it blows up a few times, and then you get over here and say, nah, I'm not going to play that game this time around. You know, I'm not taking the cheese, all right? I'm going to stay with where peace is. I'm going to let peace rule. Peace is the boss. God is the boss. His Spirit is the boss in my life. And then finally, in terms of who's the boss, I'm simply saying the love of God. We've got his word. We've got his Spirit. But Jesus said this in his parting words. A new commandment I give to you. A commandment I give to you. A new one. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Boy, you talk about a great opportunity during this pandemic for the church to be the church. You know how we're going to stand out? By not being divided, by not imploding from within, by having a love, we call a theological love walk, as far as honoring convictions, not being divisive. I mean, you think a lot of things that this coronavirus has destroyed apart from lives. It's destroyed relationships. It's destroyed just families, even in ways where you feel like you got to come down hard on one side or the other side. And it really can cause a lot of destruction apart from the physical damage. But this new commandment is that they're going to know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. There's things that aren't going to destroy the church. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church because we've got love. And you know what? Love is your boss. We know God is love. So you can run the math and see, oh yeah, well, God's my boss because God is love. But love is right there. When you've got decisions, am I going to do this? Am I going to say this? Am I going to, you know, who's the boss? Boy, as a believer, if you're really born again, if you really have the Spirit of God in you, it's not that you always get this right necessarily, not that we always miss it, but you sense that there, you sense the Spirit of God there. In fact, the scripture says that, you know, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Because when I'm over here and I don't let love be the boss and I come over here and I justify it, something's grieved over here. I know, and I got to come back over here and say, sorry, forgive me. Love. There's an authority of love. There is an authority that love has. Again, we live in a world where there's a lot of different authorities. A political party could be your authority. The platform of that party is what I live by, you know, that, you know, and you can be just hone in on this. Or, you know, a lot of times, especially in the worldly sense, Hollywood can be an authority. A lot of times, a lot of these movies and even comedy shows and things like that, they're all really written by people over here. And the scripts are designed around situation politics. And the characters of the good guys are of a certain ideology. And the bad guys, you know, the bad personalities have the other ideology. And so you can kind of create this thing. But it's all preaching a message in a sermon. And people will watch things and see things. And it will laugh, but there will be an authority. And all of a sudden they'll kind of get in a situation and they'll wonder what's right and wrong. And they'll remember that episode. I don't mean to say this in a, I'm just saying there are many voices in the world. And there's a lot of things that you can look to for truth and cling to, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's politics, whether it's a favorite person or a preacher or different things like that. But ultimately, your authority, no matter who says what, as believers, has to come back to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and there's going to be an element of the love of God that's in it. Because I'll tell you what, when you're over here, there's a lot of ungodly counsel that will make light of love and forgiveness and grace and different things like that. And this is such an important, big one when it comes to who's the boss. Because over here, the Spirit of God that wants you, there's a song, a Matthew West song about forgiveness. It's the last thing on your mind today, forgiveness. But forgiveness isn't just so you can forgive the other person. That forgiveness and love is for you. I mean, the song goes, the prisoner that forgiveness sets free is you. What did Jesus say? Jesus said about the parable of the unforgiving servant. There was a guy that owed his master $1 million. The master forgave him. He went out and started strangling a guy that owed him $20 and had that guy that owed him $20 thrown in jail. And the master said, what? I had such great mercy on you and you threw your brother in jail. And that master then threw him in jail, threw him in that prison. Now, as far as that story goes, if you've been a Christian very long, you've experienced that prison. I have. Where all of a sudden you're totally bitter about the thing that happened to you. Like, that's why we have communion. It forces us to remember the $1 million debt, right? But when we lose sight of that, and we all can, and we get bitter, it puts you in a prison. The love of God, forgiveness, gets you out of that prison, right? Bitterness will put you in a prison. when you forget the great mercy and the debt. It'll consume you, but forgiveness frees you from it. The love of God frees you, gets you out. That's your get out of jail card. Forgiveness is your get out of jail card. You won't hear that over here. Ungodly counsel will undermine forgiveness and all that kind of stuff. And it's self, 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 self. God says, walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not self. If you try to seek to save yourself, you'll lose yourself. It's a dark place. But if you'll lose self for my sake, forgiveness, you'll find yourself. You'll forgive. You'll forgive by faith. Love is there. Forgiveness is there. 1 Corinthians 13, speak with the tongue of men and of angels, don't have love, sounding brass, clanging cymbal. Have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, all knowledge, have all faith that I can remove mountains. Have love, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked, thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. I wouldn't put up with that. I wouldn't endure that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. Love will. Love will. Love will bear all things and believe all things and hope all things. There's a spirit of the world that says, I wouldn't do that. God would. Here's your question. Who's the boss? Who's your authority? Who are you listening to? I'm telling you what, we live in times where the world is, the spirit of the world is loud, and we got to shake ourselves and say, God is the boss. Love is my boss. I work for my God is a God of love, and he's put his spirit in me. He shed his love abroad in my heart, and I'm saying, love, love is my boss. Do I always get it right? No. I get over here. I get selfish, say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. But thank God for his mercy and grace and his forgiveness, because I got to come back here. This is my center. I can get off here, and I've been here, and I can be stubborn here, and I can do that. But I'm telling you what, he's going to reel you right back over into here. Why? Because when you're over here, the Spirit of God is grieved. And if you stay in a place of bitterness and harshness, you can't read enough Bible and do enough things to inspire yourself. At some point, the Spirit of truth is going to come over, lead you over here and say, I forgive that too. I forgive that in Jesus' name. Even as you have forgiven me, I forgive that. What is that? That's love being the boss. Who's the boss? I'm not asking what your theology is now. I'm just saying on a personal level. This is the question we've all, Ed House is asking himself regularly. Who's the boss, Ed House? Is the love of God being the boss? Or are you over there in self-pity and justification? And I would never put up with that. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. You can't do this by yourself. Apart from him, you can't bear all things, believe all things, and hope all things. But through Christ, you can do all things. Through his Spirit, you can bear all things, believe all things, hope all things. We need to get back over here where the Word is my boss. The authority of those words, the Spirit of God, I have a listening ear. What are you saying, Lord? I'm going to let peace rule and the love of God. I'm going to keep my heart clear and free from bitterness. I'm going to forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. That's what I'm going to do. Praise God. And I'll tell you what, there's something about that. I'll just say one thing, quick thing. When you're over here, all of a sudden there's a bazillion problems you got to solve and work through and structures and things like that. But there's a simplicity in Christ that when you forgive, you can know one thing. Father, I've forgiven. Show me what's next. Show me what to do. You're my boss. Lead me forward. Show me how to have healing. But all I'm looking for here is just the next step. I'm not problem solving. I'm just looking to God. You're my boss. So who's the boss? Who's the boss? I'm the boss. A little thing we said, Abby said, you know, in the car, I'm the boss. I'm the boss. Abby's the, you know, that's exactly what we all say when we get in the flesh. I'm the boss. But when we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, what did we do? We believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we declared his lordship over our life. We said, you are the Lord of my life. You are the supreme authority. And Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we realize that lordship flows through your word. It flows through your spirit, and it flows through love. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, you are the boss. I allow the words of God to control my life, to speak to my heart, to show me what's true. Your word is true. I will not be deceived by this world, by its noise. Your word is truth. I will listen to what your spirit is saying. I will let your spirit guide me as I walk in your spirit and not the flesh. You are love, and I thank you. You've called me to love one another as you have loved me. I get out of every prison of bitterness through the key of forgiveness. Right now, on purpose, I turn that key. And even as you've forgiven me, by faith, I forgive everyone who's ever sinned against me. They are now released. The offense is released. It is released by the same blood, the same cross that paid for my sin, paid for their sin too. And I let that grace relieve me of their sin too. Thank you, Father. Show me what's next. How to go forward from here. My heart is clear. Thank you for mercy and grace. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the boss. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I received that this morning. There's a certain line out of it's kind of an older Twilight Paris song, and it was called, I believe it's called God is in Control. And it simply said, history marches on. We see it certainly marching on to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a battle line drawn across the ages. Culture can make its plan, oh, but the line never changes, no matter how the deception may fly. There are things that have always been true, and they will be true forever. You know, God is in control. We have a responsibility with the free will that he gives us, but we serve the Alpha and the Omega. And we got to realize that we're following after him. His word is true. The culture's changed, but this word has stayed the same. And what we're doing is we're just getting on board with the word. We're getting on board with what's true. in his word. I want this message this morning to challenge you. It's part of what a pastor has to do, challenge. I'm challenging myself. I got challenged. So I'm challenging you. In the middle of this noise, in the middle of this climate, in the middle of this world that we're living in, man, say, Lord, you're the boss. I'm getting on your word. I'm esteeming your word above all other things. I'm letting that word in me. I'm listening to what you're saying. And I'm going to love. I remember something Kenneth Hagin would say, the school I went to. He said, just as he was growing in God, he'd just say something to himself out loud. He said, I'm going to walk in love whether anybody else does or not. That's important. It's not, you know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. When you're walking in love, you're doing it because God has said, this is the commandment I've given you, love one another. I'm doing it in obedience to your commandment, Lord Jesus, because you're the boss. I'm going to love. I'm going to love. And that's where we experience freedom. Praise God. So be stirred up. Praise God. A lot of noise, but we have the word. We have the truth. We have the spirit. And there's just nothing like being in the spirit, knowing you're in the spirit in the midst of the noise. And that's what we have in our Lord.